Welcome to the radio ministry of Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm Dustin Roberts, the on-staff outreach minister here, and for the next 25 minutes, I'll be your host as Rabbi Schneider will explain the prophetic implications of the Passover season. Passover is one of the oldest feasts in the world, and culturally, Jewish people have been celebrating this special, set-apart, and God-ordained holiday for over 3,500 years. But did you know that it's an important holiday for Christians as well? Today, Rabbi Schneider is explaining some important details about Passover and its connection to the end times. This engaging study, it's going to help you understand more about the Jewish history and the heritage of our faith. So let's get started. Here's Rabbi.
We are entering into now one of the most holy times of the year in God's sacred calendar. It's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Passover. Many believers don't understand how important this season is for them. The reason for this is because of the fact that the early church fathers, many of them, had anti-Semitic theology. In other words, many of the early church fathers actually tried to remove any trace of Judaism from faith in Jesus, which is so unfortunate because Jesus is the Jewish Messiah and the King of the Jews. Let me give you an example of this. When we go to the book of Acts, chapter number 12, verse 4, we read the narrative of what was happening to Jesus' apostles as they were going about preaching the gospel. It's so fascinating. I'm going to go ahead and read the first four verses to you just to give you a feel of the drama of what was taking place in the lives of Jesus' apostles as they were going about preaching the gospel after he had been crucified and raised. Hear the word of God. Now, about that time, Herod, the king, laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. This is the season that we're in now, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread that we're approaching. So once again, Herod had killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. I mean, the first apostles are being martyred. They're being killed because they're boldly proclaiming faith in Yeshua. And when Herod saw, when he had seized Peter and thrown him in prison, how it made the Jewish religious leadership happy, he began to continue to persecute. So we read here in verse 4, when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending, now listen, after the Passover to bring him out before the people. The point that I'm making and the reason I brought this scripture up, in addition to showing you the drama of what was happening as the gospel began to penetrate the earth, the reason I brought it up, beloved ones, is because if you look at one of the oldest translations of the Bible that is still common in our world today, the King James Version, if you look at this verse here, verse number 4, you'll find that the King James does not translate it as Passover, but the King James translates it as Easter. Easter has nothing to do with the text in the original manuscript. The text in the original manuscript is absolutely 100% Passover, as is indicated by the New American Standard Version that I'm reading here. And there's a lot of good versions of the Bible. I'm not making a case for any one particular version. I'm just making the case that the King James Version is one of the older versions of the Bible that people are still using today. And I'm not picking on it because the King James is beautiful in many ways. But the King James Version was influenced by the theology of the time that it was written. And the theology at the time that it was written, beloved ones, was very anti-Semitic. And so in an attempt to de-Judaize faith in Jesus, they literally changed the word there from Pescha, or Passover, and they put instead Easter, and the two, my friends, have absolutely nothing in common. So this point I'm making is wanting to help you understand how the church has been disconnected from understanding how important Passover is. If you think about the fact that when Jesus first appeared, he came to the Jordan River. I'm speaking about he appeared as the Messiah. He comes to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. And afterwards, John points to him and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, we don't think about that oftentimes because we've heard it before. But if we take a step back for a second, if we were there in the original setting in the first century, we would ask ourselves, why, when John pointed to Jesus, did he say, "Behold, look at the Lamb of God"? We'd ask ourselves, what does that mean? What was John trying to tell us when he identified Jesus to the world as the Lamb of God? Was John's intention to make us just feel that Jesus was all soft and warm, like a wool blanket made from lamb's fur? Was that the intention? No. What John was doing, remember, John was a Jewish prophet. He was pointing Israel back to the Passover. And how did the children of Israel get delivered out of Egypt? Through the blood of a Passover lamb. We read in the book of Revelation, for example, chapter number 5, that as God was about to release the end time judgments into the earth that preceded Yeshua's second coming to the world, there was a scroll there that had to be opened in order for the judgments to be released to prepare the way for Messiah's return. And we read there that no one was found worthy to open the scroll that would release the judgments and prepare the way for Messiah's return to the world. And the angels, they looked at the earth and they found no one on the earth that was worthy to open the scroll. They looked at the great men that lived throughout history. They looked at Alexander the Great. They looked at Nero. They looked at the great presidents. They looked at Mother Teresa, and no one was found worthy to open the scroll. They looked back in history. They looked at the present time. They looked into the future. They could find no one in human history that was worthy to open the scroll. Then they looked into the sea. Then they looked into the atmosphere. They found no one that could open the scroll. No one was found worthy. And the scripture says that John began to weep because no one could open the scroll. And then suddenly the Lamb of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, stepped forward and they proclaimed, "Behold, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world, Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, he is worthy to open the scroll." How is Jesus identified there once again? As the Lamb. Where does this language come from? It comes from the Passover. This is why Jesus was crucified on Passover. This was no coincidence. He was crucified, beloved one, on Passover for you. Even as Israel was delivered by the blood of the Passover lamb 3,500 years ago, today the blood of Jesus is alive. The blood of the Lamb of God is alive, delivering everyone that calls to him and gives their life to him. Passover is for you. This is why it was during Jesus' last meal with his disciples, which was a Passover meal, that he took the cup and he lifted it up and he said, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." It was the blood of the Lamb that delivered ancient Israel, and it's the blood of the Lamb, Jesus the Messiah, that delivers us today. Jesus is, beloved, the Lamb of God. And Yeshua said, "Unless you eat my flesh," even as ancient Israel had to eat that ancient Passover lamb while they were in Egypt 3,500 years ago, and then put its blood on their doorpost to be delivered. So Yeshua, your Messiah, said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple."
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus with Rabbi Schneider. We want you to know there are so many ways that you can watch and listen to Rabbi's programs. Online, you'll find us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You can find resources like our television broadcast schedule, Rabbi's messages on your podcasting platform, YouTube content, devotionals, and much more. You can even follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Check out all these resources online today. At the core of everything we do at Discovering the Jewish Jesus is our commitment to declare the whole counsel of God's Word from start to finish. In fact, Rabbi's unique way of connecting the Old and the New Testaments has helped people all over the world to understand the Bible with fresh eyes. To join us in this work of God, give a donation online today at discoveringthejewishjesus.com or call 800-777-7835. And now here is Rabbi Schneider.
So Passover is critical for every believer. In fact, whenever you and I partake of communion or the Lord's Supper, we're actually partaking of Passover. This is why the scripture says, as often as you celebrate Passover, do it in remembrance of Yeshua. And why Paul said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of Him. Every time you partake of the Lord's Supper, what you're actually doing is participating in a Passover experience. You're participating in your deliverance through the Lamb of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Savior of the world. With that said, I'd like to shift gears just for a moment and help you to understand the book of Revelation at the very end of the Bible through this Passover lens. Now consider, we've already made a huge case for the fact that Jesus is the fulfillment of Passover. He was identified to the world, first of all, as the Lamb of God. He sits in heaven right now as the Lamb. We're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He is the Lamb. Now with that being established firmly in your mind and heart, think about this. In the book of Revelation, Yeshua has a few titles. He's called the Offspring of David. He's called the Bright and Morning Star. And there's a few other titles for Him as well. But overwhelmingly, the title that Jesus is given in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, is the Lamb. In fact, Yeshua and His ministry is referred to as the Lamb 29 times in the book of Revelation. It is overwhelming. There's a few other titles that are brought up twice maybe, sometimes just once. But the Lamb, Yeshua ascribed to the Lamb 29 times. That's for a reason. What this tells me, and what I think it should tell all of us is, in order to properly interpret the book of Revelation, we need to interpret it through the Passover experience that happened in ancient Israel 3,500 years ago when Israel was redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. And so many different interpretations of Revelation have been given over the years. But to me, the only correct way to understand the book of Revelation is when we understand it through the Passover lens and through the eyes of the Hebrew prophets, because Jesus in the book of Revelation is the Lamb. And the language of the Lamb, church, is Passover language. And so when we look at the book of Revelation through the lens of the Passover, here are some of the things that we find. Pharaoh in ancient Egypt was a symbol of Satan in the book of Revelation. Remember, Pharaoh was oppressing and killing God's people, the Hebrew children, in the book of Exodus, even today, as Satan is oppressing and trying to steal and kill and destroy from God's children on the earth today. Israel was in Egypt, and Israel is a shadow of the church, and Egypt is a shadow of the world. So here we go again. The church is in the world, and it is similar to the fact that Israel was in Egypt, and Pharaoh was oppressing Israel, even as Satan is oppressing the world today. What was the means through which Israel escaped? It was through the blood of the Lamb, even as you and I today are saved through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When we take the blood of the Lamb, when we eat His flesh and drink His blood, according to the word of Yeshua, when we take the Passover Lamb into our life, we are instantly 100% delivered in Yeshua's name. Now, that deliverance is legal at first, and as we become His disciple and follow Him, that which is legal becomes experiential. What is also phenomenally interesting is that we examine the plagues that fell upon Egypt 3,500 years ago before the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Almost identically, those same plagues fall upon the world in the book of Revelation before God's final deliverance comes to His people when He returns again. For example, we find in the book of Revelation, the rivers are turned to blood, just as they were in ancient Egypt. We find that sores came upon men, just like they did in ancient Egypt. We read about that in Revelation 16:2, and we read about the rivers becoming blood in Revelation 16:4. We find that in ancient Egypt, giant hailstones fell, just as they will during the end times on the earth, as we read about in Revelation 16:21. What's also really interesting is that in ancient Egypt, one of the plagues was frogs covered the land. You know what? We find the same exact thing happens on the earth during the end times. And these frogs are demonic spirits. We read about that in Revelation 16, 13, and 14. I could go on and speak about other plagues that happened in ancient Egypt that will happen again during the very end of the last days. Passover is the lens through which we interpret the book of Revelation. Reminded once more, Pharaoh is a symbol of Satan, Egypt is a symbol of the world, and Israel is a symbol of the church, and the lamb that was slain in ancient Egypt 3,500 years ago that became their deliverance is a symbol of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of God today. Now let's take it a step further. Consider this. There have been many views spoken into the body of Messiah over the years as to when the church will be raptured out of the world. The word rapture, it just means to be caught up, because the scripture tells us that Yeshua the Messiah will descend from heaven, and when He descends from heaven, the dead in Christ will rise, and then we that are alive will meet Him in the air. That's called the rapture. Many people have been taught over the years that the rapture will happen as soon as God's judgments in the book of Revelation begin to fall. But let me ask you this question. Where was Israel in Egypt when God's judgments upon Egypt began to fall? Israel was still in Egypt when the hail came, when the frogs came, when the locusts came, when the river was turned to blood. Where was Israel? They were in Egypt. There was protection for them there. They were in the land of Goshen, but they were still feeling the effects of the plague. But note, my beloved friend, Israel was in Egypt through the first 10 plagues. It was only right before God drowned all the Egyptians in the sea that Israel was removed, when the sea parted and Israel went safely to the other side while the Egyptians were drowned in the sea as they tried to follow them. The same thing is true today. Beloved, I believe that you and I will be in the world through much of the judgments that fall upon the earth during the end times. But right before God's final wrath is revealed and poured out on the earth, called the seven bowls of wrath in the book of Revelation, the church will be raptured out of the world, just like Israel was delivered through the parting of the sea before God's final wrath on the Egyptians was poured out. So this is fascinating to understand the Hebrew roots of our faith. I don't believe we can fully understand the New Testament without understanding the Tanakh or the Old Testament. Beloved, I want to thank you for receiving and digesting my ministry, for accepting the fact of Jesus' words when Jesus said to the woman at the well, "Woman, salvation is from the Jews." As you and I continue to learn about the Jewish roots of our Christian faith, we're going to get a clear and more accurate understanding of the New Testament. Father, I pray for my beloved friends today. Father, I ask you to richly bless them. Father, I know that you are, and I know that you will, as they keep their eyes fixed on you. Father, we give you glory today. We love you today. Father, we say, Baruch Hashem, blessed be the name of the Lord. thank you for all that you've done. And Jesus, we worship you completely and totally to the best of our ability as we move into this Pesach Passover season.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus with Rabbi Schneider. And to learn more about Passover and God's other special holy days, just head over to our website at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. We have a great selection of messianic content and resources available, including a variety of rabbis' books and articles. And we offer these resources because we want to share the authentic and uncompromising message of the good news with everyone that we know. And it's why we do what we do here. Would you join with us? We want to encourage you. Help us as we boldly share God's truth faithfully and courageously while mobilizing the church and equipping the body of Christ. Scripture tells us that if two people are in agreement, whatever they ask, it'll be done by God our Father who's in heaven. And your prayers and financial gifts during this sacred Passover season, it will take us further into the world than we could go on our own. Now here's Rabbi.
Beloved, let's go now to the book of Devarim, or Deuteronomy, chapter number 16, verse number 16. 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is Passover. At the Feast of Weeks, this is Pentecost, or we say in Hebrew, Shavuot. And at the Feast of Booths, this is Tabernacles, or Sukkot. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. These are the 3 pilgrim feasts where Israel came to Jerusalem and presented a special offering to their God. We have found over the years that many of God's people feel inspired to present to Him a special offering during this Passover season. If you would like to do that, beloved, through Discovering the Jewish Jesus, we just want to thank you for your love and for your trust in us. This is Rabbi Schneider saying to you, God bless you, I love you, and all God's best to you as we move into this special time of year.
The Passover season begins at sunset on April the 22nd and ends at nightfall on April the 30th. So if the Lord is leading you to give a special Passover offering of any amount to support this ministry, let me invite you to give online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You can also dial 800-777-7835 or simply text the keyword Rabbi to the number 45777. You can also send your Passover gift in the mail to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan, 49228. And you know, together, we're truly making a difference in the lives of people all around the world. And to express our appreciation for your financial gifts, we'll send you a copy of our latest newsletter, along with Rabbi's Message of the Month, that's available also as a digital download. And then before we wrap up today, I want to remind you that our prayer team would love to pray for you. Just submit your prayer request online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And as God answers your prayers, or if He's touched your life in a profound and supernatural way through Rabbi's messages, we want to know about that too. So reach out today. We look forward to hearing from you soon. And now, it's our tradition to close with a special blessing. And no message would be complete without those sacred and heartfelt words. Now here's Rabbi.
What I love about the Aaronic blessing is that it did not originate with man. The words actually proceeded from the very essence of God Himself. The blessing comes from the book of Numbers, chapter 6. So listen to these words and receive the blessing of the Lord into your life today.
Yavarechech Yahweh. Vayishmarecha Yair Yahweh Panav Elecha Vihunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you.
and shalom.
Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us again next week when Rabbi Schneider resumes his study on the mysteries in the Gospel of John. That's Monday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.